And welcome to the Stream of Conscious Podcast. I am your host, Joel.
Staple Pants.
Cox. This is my co-host, Joe.
Fun Nuggets.
Stout. And this is our guest, Andy.
Circle Flying.
More?
Lawyer.
That didn't work. How many episodes? We've done like four episodes that you can't get his last name right?
No.
Moyer.
It's like M-O-Y-E-R, just spelled different.
So today I'd like to talk
about... Joel's like Cox, only spelled different.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about your art, Andy.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, because I like to talk about my art too, actually.
When Andy's on, we like to use one of his images instead of one of the random images off my phone. And I feel like there's a lot going on in here.
You drew this? Or is this like... Because this looks like... Did you use a program, or did you actually hand-sketch this?
No, that's done in Adobe Illustrator. Excuse me, I just work for a place downtown, and we did all kinds of stuff in Illustrator and Photoshop, so I basically learned all kinds of cool things to do in Illustrator, and basically took the program to about as far as I could take it, and learned all the keyboard commands and everything else. So I produce a lot of art in Illustrator. That's just, I don't know, vehicles aren't my strong suit, so that's why I actually tried to draw them, so I can learn how to draw them. I look at a lot of concept art for movies and TV and you know, whatever. I'm a big sci-fi freak.
I would drive this.
I would drive too. I think it'd be cool.
Here's what I want to talk about, because aside from the fact that Joel would drive this, because you said that vehicles are not your strong point, and that's why you wanted to do that. And that's one of those things that you challenge yourself. You said, where is my strong, where is my weak? And vehicles are obviously not your, they're more towards your weak side. And so that's why you went that direction. And I love that. Like, I just love that you even said that. Just that mentality alone I think that's such a very forward-thinking way to be, and mm-hmm. such a positive attitude to have, to say, not... I think too many people now, especially, really focus on what they're capable of, and focus on their strengths rather than strengthen their weaknesses. And that's what I like most about it, is that I think it's amazing. I was mm-hmm. really impressed. Before we even started the show, before you said anything about it, before we knew anything about it, Joel was looking through some of the images that you had available, and this is the one he stopped on. He goes, oh, I like this. And I saw it, and I went, oh, I like that too. So what the audience now is looking at this is sort of...
Well, it's the album art. So it's the album
okay. art. Okay. There's more available? Can we get that and maybe change up some of the pictures? Can we show the audience some of his other stuff?
We're not doing...
Too much effort. All right.
Yeah, so a lot of it is just... There's... different blending tricks with gradients and whatnot. Illustrator, I don't know, especially my outdated, ancient version of Illustrator, it's a love-hate relationship. It kicks me in the face the entire way. There's other stuff you can look up like that that's probably a lot more difficult and whatever.
That's impressive, though.
But for me to even get to that part, just fighting with Illustrator, that's part of why I don't know.
It's easy to for you, since you did it and you know what you've seen and what you're comparing yourself to, it's easy for you to downplay it. But for me, from an outside perspective, to really look at that and to invest in it, the detail in it is actually really phenomenal. When you look at the front window and the difference between the light and the dark and how it subtly kind of goes down to a lighter color and then immediately darkens and stuff, like, that's not something I could think of to do. Like, me, for, like, my window would be all one shade. Like, I'm very elementary with it. You look at what is this, the dune crawler, you look at the tracks on the front here, just the lining and the shading and everything is just really impressive, and the light, like, you can tell where the light is coming from when you really break it down, when you look at it. An immediate glance, I looked at it and I went, it's good, I like it, but kind of evaluating it and looking at it now and seeing the shading and the difference in the lighting and just kind of critiquing it, I'm really impressed with it. I really find a lot in that's this is not my world. When it comes to art, I'm an idiot. But forcing myself into
sci-fi my box, in my world.
Okay, well, so, but aside from the sci-fi aspect of it.
What I like about it is, one, you've got the vehicle. Then two, at the top, you've got the cab, you've got the trailer, and you've got the tracks going along the top. And then you've got the dithered circles going from smaller to big, or big to small, depending on what color you're looking at. And for I just love that effect.
Yeah, it gives it more of a graphic design effect, especially with the lettering and where I
the angles, sort of,
I think everything in there is like an isometric perspective.
Yeah.
But then you have the stuff up at the top where it's basically copied. Well, it's basically like the tracks that aren't in. I didn't put in isometric perspective. They just look at like a graphic. Like if you're looking at a blueprint.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yes, that's what I feel, especially along the top there, the blueprint.
That was an,
and then like the key code on the side. Those are basically the colors that I used for the thing.
Like when I was in high school, I took CAD, and it talks about isometric, and like you have the top view, side view, and all that stuff, and like you'd have the side view, and then on top of it would be the top view, and to the side of the top of the side view would be like the other view.
Mm-hmm.
And people can actually read those and figure out how to build the stuff.
I'm trying to remember. It's all like at like 30 and 60 degree angles. Mm-hmm. I've done probably.
I'd love to try
hundreds of things like that.
I'd love to try and 3D print that if it was possible.
Is that possible? Is that a thing that can be done from that?
Well,
or would it have to be recreated?
It'd have to be recreated, but I think there's enough data there to do that.
But it's definitely something you could see, even if it was just a background vehicle in a movie or a show.
There's a guy on YouTube. He actually took and made all these RC cars and stuff, and he made like a Mad Max kind of setup. He had this vehicle, it was like a dune, some kind of desert crawler. And they had this other device. And, like, he actually made a movie of all this stuff. It was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That's, you look at stuff like that, like, where how, like, these people take these fantasy characters and such, and then they recreate them into, like, we've been to several different comic book conventions and such, which I'd like to expand our horizons on that another conversation for a different time. But what I'm saying now is like we've been to ones where like you've had people where they have booths where they literally they recreate say weapons from all the different shows. Like they'll have like the blasters from Star Wars. They'll have even like stuff that's a little off the beaten path, like the things like where they make stuff the weapons from say Firefly all the way up to, you know, mainstream. And these people literally do this themselves. Like
I have a guy that I work with that showed me pictures of friends of his that do cosplay and are very detail oriented about the weapons and
the bandoliers.
That's so
phenomenal to me. Like the people literally, and there's enough of us nerds out there that we get into. We're so invested in that we would literally spend our money for something that we're passionate about, something that resonates in our hearts to see something like that. And this is kind of like a beginning, like looking at this this Desert Hawks that we have up here, to see that and think of that as like something that could be recreated in a 3D print or something like that. Like to me, and maybe it's more of like a business-minded thing where I see that and I go, how cool would it be if that was something that was marketable that could be taken from one to the other? And just, I'm really intrigued by how like someone can take something that's just created and then I guess kind of reverse engineer it into a real physical thing that they could then hand to a person.
Well, that's what blows my mind. Like I have my RC car that I've been working on, and I have an FPV pod, which is first person view for the camera, that I sat there and measured stuff and printed, and now it's physical because I have a 3D printer over here. It blows my mind. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I need a part. I'll start measuring stuff, and I'll start taking circles and squares and putting the stuff together. I threw it to the printer. An hour later, I'm like,
it's real. Like, you build something from just something that comes from imagination to become a physical entity of real life that people design. Even like whenever you get into like I was saying like cosplay and stuff like that. Like my depth of cosplay is basically, you know, following Liz Katz on Instagram or something. Like it really, if it doesn't have big boobs, I'm not really I'm not super invested in it. But the nerdy side of me does get into all those like the swords and the weapons and the toys that can be collected. And even though I myself don't have a huge collection of the different nerdy aspects and this fantasy realm that these worlds that have been created through fiction, through books, through comic books, through movies, etc. Even though I don't collect it, I'm very much obsessed with how they become reality and they become involved in our real life.
Like, well, as a sidebar, have you seen the trailer for the movie Marwen?
Yeah.
If you, which, you know, whatever about that movie, I don't think I'll see it, but that movie came from a documentary called Marwen Call about a guy that made these with, like, Barbies and various action figures at a certain size. I forget what size he uses. But it creates these intricate, basically what happened was he was in a bar, and I think he said something about, you know, cross-dressing or something, and the guys he was in the bar with didn't like him. They beat him up, and he had severe brain damage. Had amnesia for every, you know, for, like, everything in his life, you know, before that moment. As a...
is this the Steve Carell movie?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's really cool. I didn't know what you're talking about at first, but I know now.
As a mode of therapy, he started putting together these intricate scenes. It's sort of like a World War One type... basically, it's just his fantasy world. This world that he's created. And I think him as one of these characters is like the main, you know, thrust of whatever his stories are. But then he takes photographs of them. And the photographs, you would swear, are real. Like, you, at first glance, you would be like, I mean, you could go online, you could find it. You would be like, wow, that's incredible. Like, how lifelike it is. And that's what Marwen Call was the name. The name, that's what he names his town. And it comes from, the three women that he loved the most in his life. Like, something like, you know, Mary and Wendy and Colleen or something like that. And so that's where he came up with the name. But I was amazed by this document. And I'm not a huge Steve Carell fan, especially after I saw The Way, Way Back with Sam Rockwell and Steve Carell in it. He kind of played the bad guy, so I'll never watch Steve Carell again. Yeah, there you go. Documentary.
That was the
real and his artwork, I mean, that's his photographs right there. His stuff is amazing. That's his. You were talking about mental health before. This is his therapy.
That's amazing how people.
And there he is.
And I think, especially like, and I was saying before in a previous episode about how I went to school for theater, and I've always been really interested in the arts. Like, that's one of those things that it's always kind of drawn me towards. And you look at this. That's a little wild, but the audience can't see what we're looking at, so I'm gonna try not to look at
it. Oh, they can't. Sorry.
It's phenomenal how the arts influence so many people's lives and can be so effective and efficient in how we think, how we feel. That I think that there's certain people that are so maybe didactic minded that they don't realize that all this artistic energy that people have. It serves a purpose in life so much more above and beyond what you can sit back. When you look at art, does it really serve a function? It's hard to say that it does. Or am I right here?
You're going in and out.
Okay.
Everything in this room was created by an artist. Whether it's a logo, the color design on a bottle. You know, there's a swing lamp, there was a swing, you know, hinge to whatever here. You know, everything in here was designed by an artist.
Right. Even down to the engineering
that,
of...
That thing right there I made, that's not made by an artist. That's made by an idiot who doesn't know how to do what he's doing.
That's what you made?
Yeah,
the top. Yeah, that's what he was saying. He did the first person
right.
Camera.
And the audience can't see this. I wish we could have a picture of this. This is really cool. So this is... Joel, explain this to the audience so that they know what we're looking at.
So basically, if you take the top of an RC car... I made a mount that bolted
this,
on.
This is the mold. This is the outside of a car. This is the hood, the trunk, the side panels, the fender, the windshield. This is the whole casing of a remote control car.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that you would physically look at, aside from like the engine and the seats and the inside.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you have this gizmo up here.
It's a mount to put the actual camera for the first person view.
Okay.
So inside there's a box on top of the car, and that box is the transmitter. The video camera and the recorder for the camera, so that I can actually record when I'm driving around.
This is super cool.
Yeah,
I like this a lot. I actually had a very similar idea that we've talked about. Don't put that away. We're still talking about that. Bring that thing back.
Put it right there.
This is neat. I like this. I want to follow up on this. What the hell is this thing on top?
Antenna.
Okay, so that's
the transmitter, so that I can actually wear my goggles I use for my drones.
So you can see what's going on inside the camera.
Yeah, so
this is basically Joel is driving a car through remote control,
yep.
which he's watching through a set of goggles that is attached to the camera that transmits through the top of this car. So you are literally inside this car, even though you were not physically inside this car. You're metaphorically inside the car. Literally is not the right word, because you were literally not inside the car.
So let me show it. Probably not.
What's up with the toothpicks?
The toothpicks keeps it on top.
You got shish kebab skewers pulling this thing together. This is really like you MacGyvered the shit out of this thing.
And you can tell it's been rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah, this is not clean. This is not neat. This is very nitty gritty. This is very it's got some realism to it. Which, and again, this kind of brings me back to what I was saying before.
Doesn't matter.
Rolled over. Yeah, that's okay. That's
you right.
What am I doing?
Just unplug it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Hold on. Good podcasting here. Hold on. That's the noise that I make whenever I stretch. That's the noise I make when I bend over. I go, okay, so... Bringing back to, the whole art affects life and affects mood. And we talked previously before anybody who follows the show, we were talking about how when you say things like, I was saying about McDonald's and how they use the red, yellow color scheme to create a sense of hunger. For some reason, red and yellow create the sense of hunger. When you look at art, how it affects our lives, how it affects our moods, whether you're looking at the art of physical, literal art of a painting, a sculpture, Andy's recreation of this, what is it called? The dune something?
Dune crawler.
Dune crawler. You look at the dune crawler, you look at the way that music affects life. That's one thing. Music in particular is one of those things. I'm not musically inclined in the least, but there are times where, and I think everybody does. I don't think I'm special this way. Where music, it's one of those things that affects mood. When you're feeling happy, you turn on maybe whatever just makes you feel that mood. Whether it's classic rock or whether it's you listen to Andy Grammer or whatever. If you're feeling romantic, you're gonna turn on some Barry White or you're gonna turn on some Jack Johnson or whatever. You're feeling mellow, you're gonna listen to some so on and such forth. I can go on for a while for this one, where they create different moods, different tones. You can hear it, and it's drastically different. And I think that music is one of those things where people can relate to and think. The difference between rap, rock, classic, indie, etc., creates a different mode in our hearts. Well, art does the same thing. When you have things like Andy's art, that's inspiring to me. That makes me have a very sci-fi mentality of it encourages my imagination. I look at that and I think, what kind of world can exist in? Are we watching your video here?
Yeah.
The audience is watching that while I'm talking about other bullshit?
They're not.
Oh, you put it on for the audience to watch.
There's no video of this video.
We don't have any video at all?
Nope.
When they're looking at our podcast? Do we not have...
Nope.
Okay, all right, well, fuck you guys then. You don't get to see it, but what we're watching right now is Joel driving a drone around. This is the same RC car. I'm sorry, I said drone. The drones fly, RC car. I don't know all the terminology. So we're watching Joel's RC car ride around. Where the hell is that?
Latrobe, my buddy's house.
Okay.
It's funny because there's a video of me. I'm driving around. I hit this jump. And I'm like, oh man, that was like 5 seconds. Went back and watched the video. Where's that jump?
It was like, boop, boop.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we had mentioned before about advertising and visual communication and whatnot. It's all goes hand in hand. Or a lot of stuff with music. They've got it down to a science to make you feel and think certain ways. Any movie you've ever watched where it comes to a sad scene, there's like certain chords and notes that they'll play to make you want to cry.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Same with like scary movies and such. When you watch a scary movie and you start getting that really low violin, just that noise, some shit's gonna jump out and scare the shit out of you. you know that whenever they start playing something romantic, you're gonna fall. You're gonna start crying about something. Like they encourage that. Okay, nope. Joel doesn't cry because he doesn't have tear ducts, but the rest of society.
I'll cry when a puppy gets hurt. But romantic bullshit, fuck that.
Absolutely. No, I agree where that. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's art is the same way. Like I was never a big Andy Warhol fan, but recently I went to the Andy Warhol Museum downtown and.
Oh, he's a strange bird, man.
He peed on a canvas and sold it.
What? That can't be true.
It's true.
True.
Seriously?
Sure.
No, I went to the Andy Warhol Museum a while ago. It's been a chunk of change since I've been there. And I remember going there. I had a good time. It was a really fun time. I took my wife. We had a very beautiful date. I wanted to take her out. I wanted to have an excuse, basically, to get dressed up. We went out and we did some shopping, and I wanted to buy her a very beautiful dress. I wanted her to own an expensive, nice, wonderful, because she owns some dresses and stuff, but nothing that was really holy shit, you know. And I felt like she deserved that. She's been so amazing and wonderful with everything, and she's really been tolerant of me.
Spreading on thick, aren't we?
No, I'm saying that was my mentality heading into this moment where I wanted to. It starts with the dress. This is important. That it's not. I'm not talking about the. It leads to the whole Andy Warhol Museum. So I wanted to do something very special for her, and one thing I felt like she was lacking was an outfit, particularly a dress, that she could say, this is a very nice, expensive, wonderful, beautiful dress. This is, like, she could brag about the name brand. I don't know the names of any dress companies. I don't know, you know, like, I know there's shoes, there's, like, Steve Madden.
Did you buy a LuLaRoe dress? Because that'd be kind of sad.
Did I buy a what?
LuLaRoe.
I don't know what that means, so probably not. But I wanted to really, it wasn't even a matter of how pretty the dress was. It was a matter of a bragging rights kind of thing. So like in my, I chose to take her out, let her do some very expensive shopping, find something that was something that she could say without somebody seeing it. She could say, this is something that's amazing and wonderful. She could throw a name out kind of thing, name drop the type of, so we did that. We went, and this was all part of not my previous anniversary, the anniversary before that.
I like to think it's Operation Brown Chicken Brown Cow.
It went a little that direction also, but that was not my intention. My intention was to do right. It was to do good. So we do that. But I had to justify being able to go somewhere that she could dress up well. And so I start looking online, and I'm like, where can I take her? Where can I take her that she's not going to feel out of place? Because she's very self-conscious. And I was like, where do you go that you dress up extremely well? And aside from like weddings, which we didn't have something like that planned, we don't really attend a whole lot of special invitation art galleries, by which I mean we've attended none. So I decided, I looked at museums and such. Well, a lot of them closed a little bit early. The Andy Warhol Museum was one of the ones that was open late. So the way that I had the day planned, that worked best for us. So we went to the Andy Warhol Museum. We were both dressed to the nines. We were both looking very decadent. And so we get there, and there's people that were dressed also very well. There was some well-to-do. And then there was also people that were there in, like, shorts and a T-shirt kind of thing.
Let's go over here.
Yeah, that was people dressed like Joel, and then people dressed like, you know, like the Rockefeller. So we go there, and I did not, like, I knew of Andy Warhol, but I didn't know how absurd and crazy he as a person was. Like, he was a very odd, particular person. And really, he's famous for artwork that is basically, yeah, something that you could probably do on your computer. Like, I'm not talking like the quality that you, Andy, have done. I'm talking like stuff that I could do. Like, he basically, printed up a photo and then did it three different times with six different colors kind of thing. Like, stuff like that. Like, his Campbell's soup can and his Marilyn Monroe. And basically, he decided that he wanted to be high class. He wanted to hang with the bigwigs. He wanted to be someone who was involved in the society of the well-to-do and celebrity status and such. And he was able to make it just by saying, I'm a celebrity. And here's my shit to prove it. His drawings, his artwork, they're like, they look like third grade sketches of a cat. Like, I'm not joking, my 5-year-old daughter does better artwork than Andy Warhol does. But he definitely, to not down him too much, he's created some unique works of art. So you got to give him that. Like, was he unique? Yes. Was he talented? In my opinion, I don't think it's so much talent as much as it was creativity.
I think he did come up with some very iconic stuff. I do see his talent.
He was on
the museum is the biggest. It's 6 or 7 story museum. It's the biggest museum dedicated to one artist, and a single artist in the United States.
And they still haven't gone through all the stuff yet.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying. It is kind of the guy was a hustler. I mean, that's what he did. I sort of came to appreciate this going to the Warhol, and I've also been to his gravesite, which is in like Bridgeville or something. It's not that far away from here. Where from a very young age he hustled. He did what he had to do to do what he did. I mean, he had an entire studio, and he produced a lot of what was her name? Edie Sedgwick and some different models and some different personalities that came out of his, what was it called? Was it called The Studio? I can't remember. But, he created all that for himself, and he made his own celebrity, and he did what he had to do to
Andy Warhol, and here's the other thing, too, is before I delivered furniture, I actually sold furniture, and I have had the fortune of selling and speaking with and involved myself with the Warhol family, because before he was Andy Warhol, he was Andy Warhola, and I've met their family, and they're wonderful people, just incredible, phenomenal, beautiful people, very kind-hearted, very, you would never know they come from money. They're very humble, very sweet people, but so not to down him or downplay him in any way, but Andy Warhol was like, he was basically the original version of the How About That Girl. Like, he was someone who was not necessarily exuded this amazing talent as much as he was somebody who rose to fame. He was a Kardashian before there were Kardashians. Like, there's some credit to be given there, whether it's luck or whether it's skill. He put himself, he decided luck. He wasn't, you call it luck all you want, he knew preemptively that he wanted to be in celebrity status, and he made it happen. And you ask people about, you ask someone name artists, there's a good chance they're going to name Andy Warhol's name.
Not this guy.
Maybe not you, but I'm saying, like, if you got in society and you say, name some artists, they're going to say Picasso and Beethoven and etc.
Donatello, Michelangelo, Leonardo, and Raphael.
Okay, so aside from the Renaissance Ninja Turtle genre, I'm saying there's a lot of people that respect Andy Warhol. Without knowing any of his artwork, they know and respect him. You pretty much can't say Andy Warhol in any place in this country without somebody knowing who he is. He's not.
Oh yeah.
He's not residentially
Alabama. Popular.
You had
Mobile, Alabama.
You don't think that people know him in Alabama?
If I pick a random person, Mobile, Alabama.
Why don't you go back to Greenbow, Alabama?
Yep.
I'm going to keep bringing up Forrest Gump for the rest of forever now.
And that, folks, is where we're going to end this episode.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us here on Stream of Consciousness Podcast. Be sure to join us and like us on Facebook. I'm sorry, I got a really loud. I got super close to the microphone there. Follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
And FM radio?
No.
FM AM podcast?
Nope.
It's two initials in a word. GB Damn Radio and nope. And also you just like us here on YouTube and etc. Wherever you find us, you've already found us. You're already listening to us. So like us there and be sure to tune in next week. We love you.
And disco.
Joel says disco.